ClickHole, a spinoff of The Onion, has been around for less than a year, and it has already emerged as one of the funniest sites on the internet. Its success can probably be attributed to its razor-sharp writing and the fact that it provides a much-needed parody of the viral content mills vying for page views online and often serves as an antidote to lowest common denominator thinking. I'm pleased to welcome the site's founding editor, Jermaine Afonso, and ClickHole associate editor, Jamie Brew, to our show today. Hello.
Hi.
Jermaine, where did the idea for ClickHole come from?
It's an idea that we were kicking around for a while. The Onion had originally been doing these sort of slideshow parodies, like the slideshows that were on the internet. And we would do things like, 9 most scandalous Rihanna photos. So then you would click through it and it would be pictures of bricks. Or you'd do 6 best Golden Globe dresses and it would be photos of carnage in Syria. So that was like fun, and we did that for about a year or so. And, we thought, why not spin it off into its own site and kind of take on the entirety of clickbait culture and the entirety of and kind of flesh that form out more.
Although you haven't abandoned lists.
No, not at all. Well, yeah, we definitely want to stick to that.
Jamie, you wanted to add something?
Lists, I think... lists were a ClickHole thing. The Onion had slideshows for a while, and websites had slideshows for a while, but I think ClickHole was the first one to introduce lists and quizzes and some of these other non-slideshow clickbait stuff.
The kind of things we see on Huffington Post.
Sure.
Right.
And, Jamie, you've written a number of articles for ClickHole with headlines like, "One clever dad organized his children by giving them each a different name." Another one, "Youngest child ever, Jonah is just 3 years old." Where do you look for inspiration?
So those two are two examples of a story where absolutely nothing has happened and the site is treating it like the most amazing thing that's ever happened. So that's sort of something that all sites will do, is blow up a story from something small into something big. And those two are maybe two extreme examples of that.
So you're making fun of very typical clickbait tactics.
Sure, yeah.
Now, Jermaine, do you monitor sites like BuzzFeed, Upworthy, and Thought Catalog for inspiration?
Yeah, I mean, I think our writers are probably on all of those sites and many more all the time, but we definitely try to not one-for-one parody. You know, if you see something on BuzzFeed, we actually try to avoid not doing the exact same thing. We kind of just use, it's kind of a lot of the same format, but then we like to tell our own jokes, our own stories. So I think we look at that more for format than for inspiration for individual articles.
But have you ever wondered why those sites produce so much cloying and often stupid content? Are they going after low-hanging fruit?
I think that's probably true. And also, the thing is, people really like it. You know, I mean, I think a lot of times people like to accuse the sites of, doing the low-hanging fruit thing. But it's the stuff that people click on and the stuff that people like. So you almost can't blame there being people to take advantage of that.
Jamie, there's also a particular style of internet writing that ClickHole pokes fun of, which uses a lot of words like "whoa," "wow," and "amazing." Is that style a challenge to master?
There's only so many words that you need to find. Once you've learned "amazing" and "incredible" and various synonyms for "great," and then it's different kinds of hyperbole, and then it's different kinds of sort of coy understatement where you say, maybe this is true, and it's something that, of course, the audience knows is true, and they appreciate that you have such a jokey playfulness about the way you present this thing. I think there is a finite number of keywords that you need to learn before you can master that tone. I don't think it's a particularly difficult tone to master. a lot of excitement.
Are you going after the same kind of audience that The Onion has already gotten?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think we're definitely trying to reach a lot of the same people and probably, you know, a different kind of audience to people that, you know, maybe aren't on. Like, The Onion's going out making fun of more of the hard news stuff, like a site like The New York Times. And so, you know, maybe it attracts more of that type of readership, too. And so I think there's, like, an overlap between us and The Onion, but, you know, hopefully slightly different demographics, too.
The Onion has always been famous for its headline writing. Did you have to change your headline style for Clickhole?
Yeah, totally. We definitely wanted it to not feel like Onion Light, or that we were just trying to rip off The Onion and do a different thing. So we kind of, yeah, we have a slightly different style. We always
kind of love those
there's
words.
Usually some sort of emotion in our headline, whereas The Onion is, you know, more like a traditional news site and is a little bit more divorced from it, from the story itself. We usually will have a story and be excited about it almost no matter what.
Oh, it's definitely more casual. We keep the articles in there, and we talk in excited sentences. The Onion's very pared down and apparently objective.
You wrote an article called Tips for Crafting a Strong Password That Really Pops.
Yeah. That was an article I wrote last year. Yeah, that's another thing where it's projecting onto the user something that they want, and it's a crazy thing to want, but we're going to go all out and tell you exactly how to get it, because now you want this thing, now that you've seen a web article devoted to explaining it.
A personal favorite of mine was this headline, 5 Ways ISIS Can Reduce Its Carbon Footprint.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Now, you suggested eating locally as one of the ways? Do you laugh at your own jokes?
I actually forgot this this headline, so it's kind of fun to revisit it through you.
Well, that's another listicle. Are listicles particularly enjoyable to parody?
Yeah, they're a good style because a lot of times you kind of get a lot of jokes in them back to back, whereas an article you kind of are building out one joke. So it's kind of fun to, you know, just kind of shoot a lot of different things at the reader.
They're probably digestible just in the same way that real listicles are. Whatever makes us like lists makes us like lists of jokes, too.
Clickhole also makes fun of the ubiquity of quizzes on the Internet, as you mentioned earlier. You produce one called How Many of These NPR Shows Have You Listened To? And it includes, Did You Hear? Yes, Good Point, and It's Tautological.
Yeah, yeah. We wanted to, you know, test our users to see how devoted to public radio they are. So, yeah, you know, we put that list out, and hopefully people could see which ones they listen to.
Well, and all of them are taken directly from, we just looked up NPR's program list and just copy-pasted from there.
You know, Nighttime Jazzers, I believe, was one of them. Pause the Applause.
You didn't include the Leonard Lopez Show.
It must be in there somewhere.
I'm talking with Jermaine Afonso and Jamie Brew about Clickhole, which is a spinoff of The Onion. Every website develops its own particular style. Jermaine, why do you think so many sites feel the need to scream at us with long headlines?
With long headlines?
Yeah, but they have the screaming style.
I think that people, they, you know, they're trying to say that they're trying to be effusive about the content. You know, if a website is promising to restore your faith in humanity or assuring you that your jaw will drop at the end of this list or the end of this video, you know, I think they have to seem excited. Otherwise, why would you click on it if we're not all excited?
But aren't they being emotionally manipulative?
Journalism.
What were you saying, Jamie?
Well, if you've got great content, then people deserve to know about it. So I think it's only responsible to shout about something that you found that's worth shouting about.
I think they should even go a step further. It should be all caps, you know, all the time. I think that'd be great.
Like,
if you're downcapping letters, you're underselling yourself.
I like what Huffington Post does, where they give you a partial headline that ends in mid-word and even...
That's the best.
even though you may not be interested in the topic, you want to know what that word, that completed word is.
Yeah, yes. I think that's great.
I love that.
BuzzFeed recently hired a former Clickhole editor. Jermaine, do you think viral sites are starting to change their content based on your parodies?
I don't know if they are necessarily. I think on some of these sites you can see a little bit more humor in them and a little bit more like attempts to be meta with their content. So maybe a little bit. Maybe they've seen, you know, that that's a thing that they can attempt to do also.
And now you're producing a number of stylized minute-long videos with titles like "Yes, Ham Goes Up an Escalator," and "Don't Believe the Hype. This can has no peas in it." It sounds almost Dadaist.
We've been doing videos since the beginning of the site. I believe early on in our launch, we had a video. We left this stick of butter out in room temperature, and you won't believe what happens next. And then it's a 5-hour video of butter melting. I think we've been playing with that format. I think right from the beginning, we love it.
With music and good editing, can anything be made to feel inspirational?
I think it's got to be the right thing. I think we spend a lot of time coming up with images and then saying, no, that's not quite the right image, before we land on the image that deserves to be celebrated on an escalator.
So you say it has to be moving, and Ham going up an escalator is definitely moving.
You don't agree?
I was mostly touched. One of our listeners, Scott in D.C., asks about whether you talk a lot about punching up versus punching down in your editorial meetings.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I think that's a big thing from The Onion, Clickhole. You know, I think we always want to make sure that we're punching up. I think that's a very big part of the process.
How often do you cut jokes that might offend some people? Ever?
I don't think it's actually that often. I think most of the jokes that we seriously consider are ones that resonate in some true way. And I think usually if it's true, there's not too much of an issue of punching up, punching down, or offensiveness. Though we definitely talk about it. We definitely talk about jokes that would be too touchy, even if some people find them funny.
Is comedy better when the target is powerful?
Definitely. I think so.
Recently, Addison Cooper tweeted a complaint that he'd been misquoted by Clickhole. Apparently, he hadn't realized that you have a satire site. Jermaine, how did you feel about that?
That stuff is always really kind of weirdly surprising when it happens, but you also feel kind of bad because Anderson Cooper probably saw this like quote from him at the talking about a hole in one in golf, and it said that he spoke at the New York the NYU commencement, and he was probably confused. Like, I totally understand his reaction.
The quote is, "Graduation is a big deal, bigger than getting a hole-in-one. While golfing, people might think you're lying about the hole-in-one, but when you graduate, you get a diploma."
Yeah, I really like Anderson Cooper, and also I feel I kind of respect him because he kept the tweet up, and he immediately said, well, I guess I should have looked up a quick hole. He didn't delete the tweet and stuff like that. So
yeah,
I enjoyed it.
But I suspect this happens
nice
a lot.
He knows about Quick Hole.
Now he knows about it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people are often taken in by April Fool's jokes. They're often outraged by Andy Borowitz news stories, even though they're obviously satires. Do you think that people are really gullible or don't check out to understand the source that a place like Clickhole is obviously making fun?
I think people have too much to read on some level.
One at a time.
I think people are just exhausted. You have so much stuff in your news feed. You have so much stuff that you've been told you should read. You have so much stuff on your reading list that I think you gloss over some stuff, and some of that stuff happens to be satire, and sometimes you get got.
I'll also say that I think that in our writing style, like, we really try to make sure that it's very clear that we're joking. that it's a joke, you know, like, and then people can read it and will read it as a joke. The goal is never to trick people. This is for The Onion, for Clickhole. The idea is that you would look at it and 10 seconds later realize, oh, that's, you know, they were making a point or they were saying something.
Well, they have to get past the headline, don't they? They should be reading the article as well.
Right.
Now,
yeah, I think some people might even read the articles and come away with, come away confused. So I agree. We don't aim for that.
So much humor on the internet seems to revolve around cats. Jamie, why do you think that is?
Well, cats are cute. Cats live in the same places as we do, and do some things that that we can map ourselves onto. I think they're just a very convenient alive thing that's near us that we can pretend are versions of ourselves.
Try to cash in on that? Clickhole produced an article called "This Woman Tried to Put Chapstick on a Cat and It's Definitely Not Going Viral," which you call an utterly unwatchable and highly unshareable piece of content. So, Jermaine, is making something a viral hit difficult?
Yeah, I think so. That's never our goal, to try and make something a viral hit. Obviously, if it happens, really cool. It's really cool. We want to do something that's funny always. I don't know what – it seems like there's no connection between what would make something really pop and blow up on the internet. It seems like almost anything could go super viral. So, yeah.
Well, you seem to be doing pretty well. Clickhole recently had 27 million page views in a one-month period.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Well, maybe that's just us doing a clickhole. No, I think that is a real fact.
That's a satirical fact.
So are you going to expand the site?
You know, we're always trying to do new stuff with the site. We recently we started including these things called Click Ventures, which are like choose your own adventure type games that you can play on the site. We just started doing oral history. So I think we want to expand the site as kind of the internet changes and as there are new formats on the internet. I think that's kind of our goal, to always keep it fresh and feeling different.
I've been talking with Clickhole founding editor Jermaine Afonso and with associate editor Jamie Bruin. We're going to go out with a song from an article titled "This Song Was Originally Going to Be the Jaws Theme Until John Williams Changed His Mind at the Last Minute." And thanks again.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
The fishy gonna get you. Oh, the big fishy. Come around the cove with his mean old chompers. When the fishy make a splash, everybody dead. No one wants to be the fishy's dinner. Hey, fishy, you're ruining the party, man. Chasing off all the girls. Oh! That's got to hurt. The fishy be hungry, got them island munchies, lurking in the water for a bite of a bikini. When they in the lagoon, grab their harpoon, cause no one invite no fishy to the party. Shoo, fishy, we don't want you here in Amity. Only love and positivity get hired on this boat. One now, shoo, off it, you never come back.